Vaikatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Vaikatra AI. Welcome back, everyone, to the deep dive. Today, we are undertaking something pretty fundamental.
We really are.
A deep dive into applied mathematics. It sounds maybe a bit daunting, but it touches, well, almost everything. Climate, biology.
How a leopard gets its spots, even.
Yep.
And our main guide here is Lane Gorley, drawing from his major works like Applied Mathematics, Bridging Theory and Reality, and also his very short introduction.
Right. And our mission, it's quite specific. We aren't here to, you know, get lost solving equations.
I have calculus drills today.
Definitely not. We want to get at applied mathematics as a creative mindset.
That's the key word, mindset. It's this powerful way of thinking, a framework, really, for looking at the, well, the complex, messy world.
And actually making some kind of sense out of it.
And that's why it matters so much now, isn't it? I mean, Think about supply chains, epidemics, finance.
It's all underpinned by this kind of thinking. Gorley's work gives you a sort of conceptual shortcut, a way into understanding how the modern world actually works.
So let's talk about our guide, Elaine Gorley.
Okay. He's the professor of mathematical modeling at Oxford, a leading figure, really, in translating the physical and biological world into math.
And what makes him stand out, I think, is how incredibly interdisciplinary he is.
Yeah, that really struck me, too.
He takes that hardcore mathematical rigor and applies it directly to biology, things like how things grow.
Growth mechanics.
Yeah. And pattern formation, morphogenesis, they call it. Yeah. Fascinating stuff. The mechanics of the brain, even how DNA coils up.
That range is just, wow, it sort of proves the point, doesn't it?
How so?
Well, the mathematical language he uses must be pretty universal if it can describe both, say, bone growth and maybe a financial bubble.
That's a great point. His whole career is basically living out his main thesis, the art of translation.
Which makes him the perfect guide for us, for non-specialists trying to grasp the essence of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He really frames applied mathematics as the essential bridge.
A bridge between what and what?
Between the abstract world of pure math, which can feel a bit, you know, out there sometimes.
Uh-huh. Ivory tower stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And the messy, practical needs of solving real-world problems.
Yeah.
He connects those two.
Okay, and he has a specific way of thinking about this bridge.
He does. He calls it the Trinity. It's like a three-stage intellectual journey.
The Trinity. Sounds important. What's the first step?
Step one. Modeling. And this is crucial. It's the creative part, translating messy reality into precise mathematical language.
Okay, so abstraction, simplification.
Exactly. And it takes real intellectual courage, deciding what to keep, what to ignore.
And step two.
Analysis and computation. This is where the technical tools come in. You solve the math problem you've just created. Maybe it's a simple equation. Maybe it needs a supercomputer.
Right, the number crunching part.
Sort of. And then step three, which is maybe the most important. Interpretation and validation.
So taking the math answer back to the real world.
Precisely. Translating the solution back into insights, predictions, and checking, does this actually match reality? Does it work?
And I guess if it doesn't work.
And you loop back. That's the key. It's iterative. If the interpretation shows the model's flawed, you don't give up.
You go back to step one, the modeling part, and rethink your assumptions.
Exactly. It's a continuous cycle of learning, refining, correcting.
Okay, so that first step, modeling, sounds like the real linchpin.
It really is.
Yeah.
Gorley emphasizes that formulating the model is definitely an art.
An art, not just science.
Right, because you're never trying to capture reality perfectly. That's impossible. The guiding principle is parsimony.
Parsimony, like Occam's razor.
Essentially, yes. Applied to building models. Be as simple as possible.
But no simpler. I've heard that.
It's profound, though. It's not just about making things easy. It's about having the insight, the judgment, to ignore maybe most of the details.
To focus on the few things that actually drive the system.
That's it. And that takes real skill. It's strategic simplification.
And how you simplify leads to different types of models, I gather.
It does. He draws a key distinction. You've got deterministic models. Think classical physics, planetary orbits.
Predictable. Same input, same output.
Exactly. But then much of the world involves chance, randomness. So you need stochastic models.
For things like stock markets, weather.
Perfect examples. They build randomness right into the equations. Much more realistic for many complex systems.
Okay. Now, you mentioned tools earlier. Gorley highlights some that seem basic but are really powerful.
Yes. Things like dimensional analysis and scaling loss.
Dimensional analysis. That sounds like checking your units.
That's the core idea. Any meaningful equation has to balance dimensionally.
Yeah.
You can't add, you know, length to time. Meters plus seconds makes no sense.
Right. Seems obvious, but.
But it's incredibly powerful. Just that constraint lets you figure out a lot about physical limits before you even write down a complex equation.
And that connects to scaling, how things change with size.
Perfectly. It leads directly to the classic square cube law.
Ah, okay. I think I remember this one.
As something gets bigger, its volume, and so its weight, goes up by the cube of its size.
Right. Cubed.
But its surface area, or the strength of its leg, say, only goes up by the square.
Okay, so volume grows much faster than surface area.
Much faster. And that simple mathematical fact explains fundamental things, like why we can't have, you know, Godzilla-sized insects.
Because their legs, the surface area, couldn't support their massive cubed weight.
It'd just collapse.
Mm.
It's a biological impossibility dictated by pure geometry and scaling.
That's a fantastic example. Basic math setting hard limits on reality. But what about when things are changing, evolving over time?
Then we move into the real language of change, differential equations.
Okay, now it sounds like serious math.
Well, conceptually, they describe how systems evolve. Gorelli makes a clear distinction between the two main types.
Go on.
You have ordinary differential equations, ODEs. They track change involving just one variable, usually time.
Like my bank account balance over the year.
Yeah.
Or single population growing.
Good examples. It's change along a single dimension. But then you have partial differential equations, PDEs.
Partial, meaning more variables.
Exactly. They describe things changing across both space and time.
Yeah.
Think heat spreading across a metal plate.
Or waves moving. Or a disease spreading geographically.
Yes, yes. Much more complex phenomena.
And Gorelli connects these PDEs to something really surprising. Alan Turing.
Isn't that amazing? Turing's work on morphogenesis, how patterns form in nature.
Like animal stripes or spots. How does that link to PDEs?
Turing showed, mathematically, that simple PDEs, specifically reaction diffusion equations, could spontaneously generate these complex patterns.
How? What's reacting and diffusing?
Imagine two chemicals. One is an activator, it makes, say, pigment. The other is an inhibitor, it stops pigment formation.
Okay.
And they spread out, they diffuse at different speeds across the surface.
So one chemical encourages color, the other suppresses it, and they move differently.
Right. Maybe the inhibitor spreads faster.
Yeah.
And just that simple interaction, mathematically, can create stable patterns, stripes, spots.
Wow. So the pattern isn't explicitly programmed, it just emerges from the math.
It emerges from the local interactions governed by the equations.
Mm.
Mind-blowing, really.
It is. But I guess many real-world problems, especially these complex ones, don't have easy solutions you can just write down.
That's the modern reality. Most interesting systems, especially nonlinear ones, lack neat analytical solutions.
Which brings us to computers.
Exactly. Computation. Gorelli really hammers this home. Modern applied math isn't just theory and lab experiments. It's a triad, theory, experiment, and simulation.
Using computers to approximate the answers.
Yes, for things like long-range weather forecasting or modeling turbulent fluid flow. Problems that are just too complex to solve with pen and paper alone.
Okay, so if you try to boil down Gorelli's core message, what are the big themes that emerge?
I think one of the most powerful is this idea of unification.
How the same math applies across different fields.
Precisely. That the same basic exponential function can model compound interest.
And radioactive decay.
Yeah.
And population growth. Finding that underlying mathematical unity is, well, it's incredibly insightful. It reveals a kind of hidden structure to the world.
That's a great point. What else?
The emphasis on modeling is an art of simplification.
Right. Back to that idea of knowing what to ignore.
It's not just about technical skill. It demands creativity, judgment, the artistry,
yeah,
to simplify strategically without losing the essence.
And I suppose that leads to the third point, this constant balancing act.
Yes, the balance between simplicity and complexity. A model has to be simple enough that you can actually work with it, solve it.
But it also needs to be complex enough to actually be useful, to reflect reality in some meaningful way.
It's a tightrope walk, always.
These ideas really come alive in some of the quotes or core concepts he uses. There's that famous one about models being wrong.
Yes. George Box's line, which Gorelli uses effectively. All models are wrong, but some are useful.
What's a deep meaning there? Humility.
Partly humility, yes. Recognizing that any model is a simplification. So it's inherently wrong in that it doesn't capture every detail.
But that doesn't make them useless.
Not at all. They are invaluable tools for understanding, for prediction, for exploring what-if scenarios. We just need realistic expectations.
So when people worry about, say, climate models being wrong.
Well, the usefulness comes from understanding the range of possibilities they suggest, how sensitive they are to different inputs, not from expecting a perfect crystal ball. They frame the problem.
That makes sense. There's another idea you mentioned he stresses about where the real art lies.
Oh, definitely. This one flips the usual focus. In applied mathematics, the art lies not in solving the equation, but in setting it up.
So the hard part, the creative part, is the modeling itself, the translation.
That's what he argues. That's where the deep thinking happens. Formulating the problem elegantly is often more challenging than the technical steps of solving it afterwards.
Okay, I love that focus on thinking over just technique. How can we maybe apply this modeling mindset outside of science labs?
Well, that whole three-stage Trinity model, analyze, interpret, validate, is a fantastic meta skill for almost any complex problem.
Like in business strategy or even personal decisions.
Absolutely. Facing a big challenge. Try to consciously, one, model it, strip it down to key variables and relationships. Two, analyze how do they interact. Three, validate, does this rough model give you any insight? Then refine it.
That's really practical. And for just being an informed citizen.
Hugely important.
Yeah.
When you see economic forecasts or public health models, Gorley's work equips you to ask the right questions.
Like, what assumptions went into this model?
Exactly. What are the underlying assumptions? Are they reasonable for this specific prediction? What are the model's known limitations?
It makes you a more critical consumer of information, not just accepting numbers at face value.
For sure. And we rely on this stuff constantly without thinking. GPS relies on solving equations from relativity.
Search engines like Google.
Massive applications of linear algebra, network theory. It's everywhere.
You know, what I really took away from exploring Gorley's perspective was this paradigm shift.
That's it.
It really reframes math. It stops feeling like this rigid, maybe slightly intimidating subject.
I'm become.
A flexible, creative toolkit driven by judgment, by artistry, by knowing how and when to simplify complex reality. I found that quite inspiring, actually.
That's a great way to put it. For me, the lasting insight is seeing mathematical thinking as this fundamental lens.
A lens for seeing. Wow.
Hidden patterns. Connections, the underlying structures that link things that seem totally unrelated on the surface, whether it's physics or finance or biology. It's a way of engaging with complexity.
A way to find the elegant structure beneath the chaos.
Well said. It really is an invitation to think like a modeler.
So maybe a final thought for our listeners.
Yeah, try it out. We encourage you, maybe this week, take a complex problem you're facing, personal or professional, and consciously try the art of abstraction. What happens if you deliberately ignore some of the noise, the secondary details, and just focus on what you think are the one or two core relationships?
Build your own really simple model.
Exactly. See what happens. It might clarify things more than you expect. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.